Well, I've come in and out of the gas station up in Leasdale hundreds and hundreds of times. I go in for gas, go in to get my mail each week, and behind the counter is this little sign, and there's this cute little dog, and he's kind of meditating, and it says, "Let that stuff go." And I've seen it a few times, and I kind of let that stuff go, and I see it, and I move on, and don't really think much about it. And this past week, while preparing for a funeral, that little sign, "Let that stuff go," just kept ringing in my ears as I prepped for the funeral and thought about, you know, what's really important in life, reflecting on loss and, you know, just what is important. It hit me that that phrase carries a deep truth. Let that stuff go. Deep, deep truth. That we do hold on to past hurts and disappointments and regrets in our lives. We carry them around like a little backpack on us at times. And it's filled with unmet expectations. It's filled with old arguments, mistakes that we've made. And over time, this just builds up. And it robs us of our joy and our peace. And it's just not a good thing. But that little sign in the gas station kept ringing in my ear. Let that stuff go. Let it go. The Apostle Paul seems to almost know this struggle well in Philippians 3. After years of striving and controlling and pushing, he comes to that realization, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. He wasn't always the great apostle. He wasn't always the great theologian or missionary. Paul was, by all accounts, a deeply controlling person, control over all of his environment. He came from the right background, morally and culturally. He was a Pharisee, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He upheld the law with fierce determination. These credentials gave him confidence, even pride in who he was and how he lived. And yet that confidence turned into fierce control, especially over those around him who didn't conform to the way that he thought. So scripture tells us that he ravaged the church, went from house to house, dragging believers off, men and women, and throwing them in prison. He approved of Stephen's stoning. He coordinated persecution against the church. So he wrote down plans and said, okay, if we go over here, we can stamp out this church over here. He basically came to the conclusion, you either conform or you're going to get destroyed. Not the nicest thinking, is it? No, not at all, right? But often with religion too, we can sometimes think we're doing the right thing even when we're not. But then grace intervened for Paul. He's on the road to Damascus. I think he was on a horse. And he gets knocked off his horse, struck blind. The man who controlled so many others all of a sudden has to be led by the hand himself by God. God needs to lead Paul by the hand. Paul's world collapsed. And guess what? It was God's mercy that Paul's world collapsed. All Paul's strength and all his certainty had been taken away, and his need to be led by the hand by God ensued. Most of us don't have a past like Paul's. We haven't gone house to house to our neighbors stirring up trouble. At least some of us, maybe not all, you know, whatever. But some of us have experienced control in our lives. We've experienced maybe a parent or a grandparent or even a spouse at times. Or maybe, and these experiences leave a mark, maybe we've had a controlling boss that's been involved. Or maybe just ourselves, we want things done the right way, so we got to do it ourselves, and we cling to our plans tightly with control. And when things don't go as we hope, that's when disappointment can creep in, doesn't it? When things don't go the way that we want. That can happen to the best of us. It's true, there is much in life we can't control. People, situations, health, world events, we have no control over it. There's so much we can't control. But faith at its core is about letting go of control. There's that old slogan, letting go and letting God. Even the small things can steal our joy. Small little things, if we don't release them. Years ago, a person cut me off. It was in my excuse me. It was in my my parents' neighborhood, and I know the cul-de-sac well, where the guy cut me off and then followed me, and my buddy was with me. We were driving, and I said, "Hey, do you know that house down in the cul-de-sac where that Dodge Charger is?" And my buddy's like, "Sean, you need to let that go. How many years ago? You've been talking, every time you come home, you keep talking about this. Over and over and over. Holding on to it like it happened yesterday. I had a conversation with my teenagers." Or this can happen too with your spouse or a father or brother-in-law. It can instantly turn into a battle when we dig our heels in, right? Holding on to the past, hurts, resentments, the need to be right. All of this can steal our joy and our peace. When Paul writes the Philippians, he's speaking from the other side of a long, long journey of getting to this point. Paul discovered that the Christian life isn't about having it all together, but being held together by Christ. The Christian journey is not having it all together, but being held onto by God. That's the Christian journey. Not that we get it all together, but that God holds onto us. That is something we can take to the bank. God holds on to us. This is the gospel. Paul admits that not that I've already attained all of this, or I've already reached that goal, but I press on to take hold of which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's what Paul discovered, that God has put his shoulder on him and won't let him go. And that's what God does for you. God's got his hand on your shoulder. This is the grace of God. Paul's past didn't disqualify him. It became the backdrop for him to be changed into the person who he would become. His blindness wasn't punishment, but it was the moment that God opened his eyes so he could finally see what it was all about. And because of that, Paul could finally say, "I press on, not out of fear or compulsion, but because God's hand is on his shoulder. And he can move forward into the life of grace and love that wanted for Paul. We are able to have confidence that Christ's hand is on our shoulder so we can finally release the tight grip that we hold on to in life. We can open our hands and let it go. This is freedom. The freedom to let that stuff go, not because it doesn't matter what's happened, but because we know the one who holds on to us, and we can let it go. This past week, while preparing for the funeral, during the service, my friend shared some pretty hard truths. It was honest, it was painful, it was deeply moving for everyone who heard it. But he talked about growing up in a home where love was never spoken aloud. Affection wasn't shared. Emotions weren't welcome. His father had learned the same thing from his parents. No warmth. And my friend told me that, told the whole funeral, basically, that his father had never seen his parents give affection to one another. Basically, I guess it was at a fair once he saw them dancing, and that was the closest thing. So my friend carried these wounds for decades and decades, and he masked his pain with addiction and anger and distance. But in the last year, something incredible happened. Him and his dad sat down face to face, like equals, and began to unlock these old patterns as two human beings willing to speak for the first time in their lives, talked about all that had shaped them in their lives. His father shared how he grew up without affection, without encouragement, without being told that he was loved. And that confession, simple, raw, and honest, broke something in the relationship. It broke generational trauma. After my friend offered a hug to his dad, something they rarely shared, his father apologized, took responsibility, and it just changed everything. In that moment, grace entered into the story and changed the situation. Two people, father and son, set free. Not because the past didn't happen, the pain was real, but because they chose to let it go. What happened between them is what grace always does. It helps us to let go. To let go and to let God. That's what Paul is talking about in Philippians 3. It doesn't erase the past, but grace releases its power into our lives to help us to let go. This is what Paul learned and what the gospel invites us to. We don't move forward by holding on tighter and tighter, but we move forward by opening our hands. We can't change the past. It's there. It's not going anywhere. We can't control the future either. But we can live into the present, hands open, Christ on our shoulder. You're already forgiven. Christ is already ahead of you. Christ is already behind you. So whatever you're carrying this morning, let it go. Let go of the hurt, the regret, the disappointment, the need to be in control. Give it to God. Put it in its rightful place. And like Paul, let us move forward, prepared for whatever happens, freely and lightly, and with the Lord's hand on our shoulder. Amen.